during this month of September, we've been talking about how we deal with and even embrace change. As the seasons change, there are many changes we experience in our lives. And some changes are more difficult than others, of course, especially changes that come in the form of sudden crises that disrupt our lives. As you may have heard, our United Church family experienced a particularly difficult loss last weekend when the vocational minister for our region, the Reverend Brenda Fox, was killed tragically in a terrible highway accident. Brenda's partner, the Reverend Nancy Talbot of Mount Seymour United Church on the North Shore, and their teenage sons are suddenly dealing with the cataclysmic change in their lives, along with so many others who love Brenda, whose life and ministry has touched countless people. Brenda and Nancy are very close and dear friends for Karen and me. So this loss is truly devastating for us. We've been in kind of a haze this last week as we do our best to support Nancy and their kids. I know there are others here who have suffered losses in recent weeks. And most of us have known deep, deep loss at various times in our lives. Grief, illness, trauma, and other life-changing events can push us to our limits and overwhelm us. And they require of us various kinds of courage to face the unknown, to reach out for help and support, even just to let people know what we're experiencing, and dare to imagine a different future than we had imagined before. Whether that's about more dependence on others or managing without someone so dear to us, or whatever it is. The changes that crisis brings often lead then to changes that we can make intentionally. And they require courage in both similar and different ways than the crisis itself. Whether it's a decision to live differently or to live in a different place or without, to live without some of the privileges that we had previously taken for granted. Making peace with the changes that happen around us or that are forced upon us by circumstance. And making changes that we consciously and thoughtfully choose. Both of those kinds of change require courage and community and admitting that we cannot do it by ourselves. It takes courage to change, to break out of whatever narrow path we might have found ourselves on. As we heard a few moments ago in our sacred story, we heard Peter trying to respond to Jesus' invitation to step out onto the water and join him as he walked above the water. Just like Peter, if we are going to change, we have to take the first uncertain steps out of the boat and onto the water. And into the unknown. We have to take the risk of those first steps. And then, when we start to sink and go under, which for most of us is kind of inevitable, we then need to reach out and take Jesus' hand. Sometimes we forget that we also have Jesus' redeeming help and support. We don't notice his hand reaching out to us when we start to sink or lose our way. That helping hand comes in so many different ways, in different forms. So I want to invite you to imagine that scene and place yourself in that scene, to see yourself hear Jesus' invitation and then stepping out into the unknown with him. Hold that image in your mind, in your soul, the image of Christ reaching out his hand to you, not simply to fix things, but to help you step up and above the frightening waters of change. I invite you to meditate and contemplate that image of yourself in Peter's position. One of the areas of change that we have been learning about, especially in recent years, is the legacy of residential schools and other injustices that Indigenous peoples have lived with for many generations in our province and in this nation. As we wear our orange shirts today and tomorrow, and observe the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, let's take a moment now to hear from the moderator of the United Church of Canada, the Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne. Sure, the sound's up on your board.
Greetings. I'm the Right Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne, moderator of the United Church of Canada. September 30th, we observe the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. We witness and honor the healing journey of survivors and families of the residential school experience, and we remember those who didn't make it home. Phyllis Webstad, founder and ambassador of Orange Shirt Day, is a residential school survivor and community leader who continues to raise awareness of Every Child Matters by sharing stories of the individual, family, and community intergenerational impacts of the residential school experience. Orange Shirt Day is not to be celebrated as a holiday. It is a day to reflect, to learn, and to pray about the continued impact of colonial policies and governance in what we now call Canada. Whether you attended one of the schools, whether you're an intergenerationally affected relative like me, a granddaughter of a survivor, whether you're a parent left behind, or a non-Indigenous person in Canada who is fed a false history, Orange Shirt Day means every child matters. Indian residential schools operated in Canada between the 1870s and the 1990s. The last Indian residential school closed in 1996. Between 1925 and 1969, the United Church of Canada operated a total of 15 institutions within the Indian Act system as a part of the federal government's policy of assimilating Indigenous peoples. The Heiltsuk joint leadership of hereditary chiefs and elected chief and counselors have called not for reconciliation, but for a concept in our language called Hilsistut, or to turn around and make things right. It is not about reconciling two parties who have harmed each other, but non-Indigenous accountability for harms done to Indigenous people in the name of the Church, in the name of the Crown, and as a society that has normalized Euro-Christian whiteness. As members of a church that operated residential institutions, every member of the United Church of Canada is accountable for learning about the tragic and painful legacy of the institutions and how it continues to impact the lives of Indigenous peoples across the country. Children in those institutions suffered physical, sexual, emotional, spiritual, and cultural abuse. This resulted in the Indian Residential Schools Settlement Agreement, which included the creation of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Its final report and calls to action make clear that there is still a very long journey ahead of us as we seek to make things right. Racist or colonial policies continue to harm Indigenous children and their families. They manifest in inequitable funding for education, and injustices are perpetrated under the Indigenous Child Welfare Act. On September 30th, and every day, we must remember that every child matters. One way we can be proactive in showing Indigenous young people that they matter is by investing in the Wase Abin program. This program awards annual scholarships for post-secondary education to Indigenous students ages 18 to 29 who demonstrate financial need and academic excellence. I hope you will join me with millions of other Canadians, Indigenous and non-Indigenous alike, and spend time in reflection, prayer, and action on this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Walaskaeska, every child matters.
When we consider all the work we still need to do to reverse the injustices that are still present and bring healing and restoration for the colonial sins of our past, it can be overwhelming. Add to that all of our hopes and fears for peace in Israel, Palestine, and Lebanon, in Haiti, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, and in Ukraine, and many other places. Add to that our fears about climate change. It might leave us in despair. In an article in 1991, Marion Wright Edelman, who is a lawyer, she recalled hearing the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speak at Spelman College when she was a young lawyer. One of the things that I liked about him, she says, was that he didn't pretend to be a great, powerful know-it-all. I remember him discussing openly his gloom, depression, and his fears, admitting that he didn't know what the next step was. He would then say, "Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." I invite you to listen now to a poem by David White called "Start Close In."
Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question, with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes a private ear that can really listen, that can really listen to another. Start right now. take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question, with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes a private ear that can really listen, that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing. Close in. The step you don't want to take.
What is your first step? The one you don't want to take. What is your first step? What change are you feeling called to make in your life? What change are you being forced to face? What is that first courageous step you can choose to make? What encouragement do you need to ask for? Once again today, we will take a few minutes for a time of contemplation as we think about change in our own lives and being reshaped by God. So you are invited to simply sit in quiet meditation, or if you would like to take the opportunity to shape some clay at one of the tables around the outside. Today, we invite you to use the clay or the Play-Doh to create a footprint or a shoe or a walking stick or perhaps a suitcase. Anything that represents embarking on a journey, taking that first step. As you create it or as you think about it, think about one step that you have been contemplating taking that requires change in your life. Allow the shaping of the clay to be your petition of prayer to God, or make that petition as you sit quietly. A prayer for the courage and the encouragement that you need. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.